Well, just before I came into the, came back to the temple room, I was asked by Rasa how I liked giving Srimad Bhagavatam class, or did I like giving Srimad Bhagavatam class? And I kind of gave her an enigmatic response, which was, the code was, well, it's a rather purifying experience for me, being an unrealized soul. And I had been reading the verse earlier this morning, and I was thinking, I don't know what to say about this verse. And Krishna fixed that really well, because when I came here, the wonderful assistant temple president told me, actually, he'd given me the wrong verse. So then I got another verse that I haven't even had a chance to read, and that's, that's going to be the one we're having class on. So, we're reading chapter 24, text 17, and the chapter is the renunciation of Kardamba Muni. So, the way I do it is word by word and translation first and then the chanting. So, jana of spiritual knowledge, vijnana and applications, yogena by means of mystic yoga, karmanam of material actions, udharam uprooting, jata the roots, Hiranya Kesha, golden hair, Padma Aksha, lotus eyed, Padma Mudra, marked with the sign of the lotus, Padambuja, having lotus feet. Jana vijnana yogena. Jana vijnana yogena. Jana vijnana yogena. Pramana mudaram jata. Pramana mudaram jata. Amutaranjata Hiranyakesha Padmaksha Hiranyakesha Padmaksha Hiranyakesha Padmaksha Hiranyakesha Padmaksha Padmamudra Padambuja Padma Mudra Patambuja Jana Vijnana Yogena Pramanam Mudaram Jatha Hiranyakesha Padmaksha Padma Mudra Patambuja Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. By mystic yoga and the practical application of knowledge from the scriptures, Kapila Muni, who is characterized by his golden hair, his eyes just like lotus petals, and his lotus feet, which bear the marks of lotus flowers, will uproot the deep-rooted desire for work in this material world. Purport by His Divine Grace. In this verse, the activities and bodily features of Kapila Muni are very nicely described. The activities of Kapila Muni are forecast herein. He will present the philosophy of Sankhya in such a way that by studying his philosophy, people will be able to uproot the deep-rooted desire for karma, fruitive activities. Everyone in this material world engages in achieving the fruits of his labor. A man tries to be happy by achieving the fruits of his own honest labor, but actually he becomes more and more entangled. One cannot get out of this entanglement unless he has perfect knowledge or devotional service. Those who are trying to get out of the entanglement by speculation are also doing their best. But in the Vedic scriptures, we find that if one has taken to devotional service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness, he can very easily uproot the deep-rooted desire for fruitive activities. Sankhya philosophy will be broadcast by Kapila Muni for that purpose. His bodily features are also described herein. Jhana does not refer to ordinary research work. Jhana entails receiving knowledge from the scriptures through the spiritual master by disciplic succession. In the modern age, there is a tendency to do research by mental speculation and concoction, and nowadays by Google. That part is not in here, but it would be if Prabhupada had, been here to know about that. But the man who speculates forgets that he himself is subject to the 40 specks of nature. He is sure to commit mistakes. His senses are imperfect. He is sure to fall into illusion, and he's cheating. Unless one has perfect knowledge from disciplic succession, he simply puts forth some theories of his own creation. Therefore, he's cheating people. Jnana means knowledge received from disciplic succession from the scriptures, and vijnana means practical application of such knowledge. Kapila Muni Shankya's system of philosophy is based on jnana and vijnana. Please repeat. By mystic yoga and the practical application of knowledge,
from the scriptures,
Kapila Muni, who is characterized by his golden hair,
his eyes just like lotus petals,
and his lotus feet,
which bear the marks of lotus flowers,
will uproot the deep-rooted desire for work in this material world. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Janana Sakalaya Chakshun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prasarane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paskashade Satarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyavya Patita Nam Pavane Pimyo Krishna Vibhyo Namo Namaha. Thank you very much for welcoming me to your beautiful and most sacred center. There are very few places within ISKCON that are existing now where Prabhupada actually came and spent some significant time. And even fewer among those places has been the beautiful preservation of his quarters and the places where he particularly enacted his pastimes here. It is extremely noteworthy that this beautiful room of Srila Prabhupada I was told contains the same exact furniture, the same exact curtains, the same covering on the furniture. Everything is actually as it was. And this is a wonderful testimony to Prabhupada's presence and to your desire to serve him. So I thank you very much. Today is also the disappearance of which Goswami? Rupa Goswami, sorry. And Gauridas Pandit. And when I came here yesterday and I saw these amazingly beautiful Gornitai deities, without even realizing this was Gauridas Pandit's disappearance day, for some reason I was immediately remembering him and his great love and affection for Lord Chaitanya Nityananda. And then I came to find out it is his appearance day. So just I'll say a few words about Gauridas and then try to say something about this sloka. But it's in the disappearance day, he departed, actually, his pastimes mainly were in the area of Navadvip and Albika Kanla. But his departure was at Dira Samira Kunj in Vrindavan. And it was there that he entered the Leela, the eternal Leela, the Charana Leela, which is the activities of the cowherd boys. So this is a wonderful pastime, such a wonderful devotee. And again, for me anyway, there is a strong feeling of connection because of an incident that occurred in 1967 in San Francisco with Srila Prabhupada toward the end of the year. One young girl had, her name was Harsharani, and she had written what we might say is a Vyasa Puja offering, although it wasn't during Vyasa Puja time. It was a poem, and kind of simplistic. And the devotees in general thought it was maybe a little childish. But Srila Prabhupada read it, and he said, "This must be printed in Back to Godhead." So in those days, Back to Godhead magazine wasn't the fancy editions that we have now. They were just pieces of paper that were mimeographed, which is kind of like photocopy without the photo part. And then they would come to the temple, just these papers, and we would like sit in a row, line them all the papers up, and pass them down until we got the complete set, and then the final person had a stapler and punched the staples in. And the cover was either light yellow with the same cover every month. It was, you might know this picture from early San Francisco days where Prabhupada is sitting in the Dhammakaswara Park and he has his hands kind of like this. Some people think it was some mystical thing. He was simply shading his eyes from the sun. So his hand was raised above his forehead like this. And so there was an outline. It wasn't a photo, you know, photographed properly. So it was that picture. But then they had these concentric rings going around. Like, so either it was light, the cover was light blue or light green or light pink. This was basically the different covers. And the only thing that would distinguish one from the other was the date. So I think that was printed in January of 1968. But the actual occurrence that I'll explain was in 1967. So in the poem, she describes Prabhupada as a cowboy. Because we didn't know the term so much, gopa. Gopi, we'd heard gopis, but we didn't know these terms so much. But we knew gopa was a cowboy, cowherd boy. So she used the word cowboy. So in America, people will think cowboys as these guys that ride horses and have two guns on their hips and big hats on their head and go around chasing bad guys and killing Indians. But that's not what she meant. She meant cowboy like the gopas, you know. So she described him like that. And then she said in the final verse how he was always thinking how to please his dear most Lord Krishna and never thinking of himself. So Prabhupada had this poem printed, and didn't think so much until we kind of read it again, and then we thought, wow, she's saying Prabhupada was a cowboy, you know. But we knew she didn't mean like, you know, the rootin' tootin' American cowboys, but still. So a small group of us, we like, seems like, I can't remember everybody, but maybe there were four of us, three, four, or five, small group, we went up to his room. And we asked him a question. And the question, in reality, was kind of an impertinent, it meant out of place question. But it's kind of like a small child. Well, you know, we were really small children at that point. We didn't have senior devotees per se. The senior devotees were 5 or 6 minutes older than we were, you know. So we didn't have a lot of deep understanding at that point of proper etiquette, and particularly in regards to relationship with the spiritual master. So the question we asked him was, are you a cowboy? Like, that's like, what's your lila with Krishna? You know, that's what we were asking. But specifically, we wanted to know if he was a cowboy, because that's what the poem said, and he wanted that poem printed, so our little minds were thinking, there must be something here. In later years, when people would, not so many later years, but if people asked an impertinent question, sometimes he'd just look at it and say, that you do not need to know, or that you cannot understand. He didn't let it pass, you know, but we asked him, are you a cowboy? And he just said, yes. That was all. He didn't go further, he didn't elaborate. He said yes. And from that moment, we were just thrilled to see Srila Prabhupada as an eternal cowboy associated with Krishna. We never questioned it. It was just there in our hearts. So here, when I was reading this morning, when Gauri Das Pandit, he entered the Charana Leelas, this eternal pastimes of a cowherd boy. Again, I was just thinking of our wonderful Srila Prabhupada. So, Gauri Das Pandit was described by Krishnadas Kaviraj in the Chaitanya Charitamrita as an emblem of the most elevated devotional service in love of Godhead. And he has the greatest ability to... And this is quite important. He has a great, this actually said a potency, the greatest potency to receive and deliver such love. So I was thinking of that just part. You know, we hear about giving love of God, giving love of God, but unless one can receive that same love, what is the possibility of delivering it also? You know, so this is a very wonderful qualification. And this love was so intense within him that he sacrificed everything for the service of Lord Nityananda. It was described, even the fellowship of his own family. So in the Bhakti Ratnakar also there are descriptions of Gauri Das Pandit and his leelas. So these two scriptures are the main sources. So Gauri Das' elder brother, does anybody know who his elder brother was? Because his elder brother is quite a significant personality. His name was Suryadas. And Suryadas Sarakela. He was the father of Sri Vasudha and Janava Devi, who both married Lord Nityananda. So he was Lord Nityananda's father-in-law by our calculation. So such an illustrious family, huh? So Gauri Das was described in the Ganadesha Dipika, Gora Ganadesha Dipika, that he was formerly Subal in Vrindavan. That was his pastime when the Lord came as in his Krishna form. So at one point, he Gauri Das shifted to Ambika Kalna, And it's said in the Rambika Khanad that there is a handwritten Gita that Lord Chaitanya himself has inscribed. So I'd forgotten about that. You know, it's such a nice reminder. It made me really want to go and take darshan of this sacred place. So when Lord Chaitanya just decided he would take sannyas, we all know that he took off in the middle of the night. He left his beautiful young wife. He left his aged mother, who was without, you know, his father had already passed, so he left his widowed mother, and he just went. But one of the persons that he went to see, well, he went with Nityananda, he went to see Gauridas Pandit. And when he arrived at the home of Gauridas Pandit, both him and Nityananda were chanting, Hari, Hari, so Hari, Hari, Hari. And when Gauridas Pandit came to understand what was going on, this wasn't just an ordinary social call, but the Lord was going to take the sacred order of sannyas, he broke down in great emotion, crying. And he just fell at the Lord's feet, and he was begging him, please don't go, please don't, just don't leave this place, stay here in Ambika Kalna. And he said, I'll surely die if you do this, if you leave me, I'll die. So the Lord, Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, they were imprisoned by his love. They were so captivated by his love, they were imprisoned by his love. So the Supreme Personality is Godhead. He can resolve any situation. You know, sometimes we get some situations and it just seems, what? How can I deal with this? What are we going to do? But for the Supreme Lord, it's just a question of slight adjustments, you know. And he had such a wonderful solution to his, you know, feeling of being abandoned by the Lord, that the Lord is Bhakta Vatsala. He is, you know, he's a friend of the devotees. So what he did was really wonderful. He said, we'll stay at your home forever. He assured him, we're not going to go. We'll stay at your home forever. But how did he do that? That's the wonderful thing, that he manifested as the two deities. They manifested their Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. So then at that point, the four of them were standing, looking at each other, like, kind of wonderful. And Gauridas Pandit was stunned. He was just stunned, and tears were coming from his eyes. And the Lord Chaitanya said, you know, your wish is fulfilled, you know. So these two will remain forever. And we'll eternally stay here. We won't leave. And we'll beg to eat your offerings. So Gauri began to, immediately he began to cook for them, and he made a very wonderful feast. And the lords ate everything. And then after the feast, he offered them some garlands made of lotus flowers. You know, do you have lotus flowers here in Australia somewhere? A couple of weeks ago, there was the Pushpabhishek of Radha Vrindavan Chandra. And one of the opulences in New Vrindavan is that Radha Vrindavan Chandra are the presiding lordships of New Vrindavan. Is that there is one, we have two little lakes, and one of them is completely full of lotus flowers. And they happen to be in full bloom right now. So not only did they have lotus flower garlands, part of the Abhishek, the final part, the grand finale, was just immense outpouring of lotus flowers, lotus petals, not the flower, but the petals, lotus petals. So they were offered this lotus petal garland and fresh cloth, tambula, and then Gauri decorated their limbs with sandalwood paste. So after that, the Lord and Nityananda, they departed for Puri. So There were many different pastimes that occurred with these beautiful deities. And one of them was one time, after so many, many years of serving them, Gauridas came with the offering. And he was very meticulous how he offered and prepared his offering. You know, the offering isn't just when you get it on the plate, but it's actually even when you collect, Prabhupada explained, even when you collect, like in certain situations, you have the opulence of actually growing the boga. Most of us, we have to go to the supermarket. So Prabhupada described, even in the supermarket, this is part of the offering because your consciousness is there, you know, like searching for the best quality for Krishna, knowing whatever you take is going to be offered to Krishna, so it must be very good. So he was very meticulous what he would choose from the garden, how he would prepare it. But now he was old and he was infirm. You know, I'm starting to relate with that part of life, the old, infirm, and feeble part of life. You know, so he was like that. And the deities looked at him, and he looked at them, and he came with his offering, and they looked not very happy. So he didn't know, you know, what was wrong. And they wouldn't accept his offering. So then they explained, you know, what's wrong? What have I done? You know. But they explained to him that now you're old, you know, you're infirm, it's very difficult. There's no need to take on such added labor. Just make it very simple. Just make it very simple and we'll happily accept. So after some great, you know, encouragement in that direction and consideration, then Gauridas agreed. And then from there on, he would just prepare a little shak and offer it on a fresh banana leaf. And the Lord very, very happily accepted that offering. And at another time, he was looking, and I'm sure everybody, when you see the wonderful darshan of their lordships, sometimes you might think, oh, I wish I could offer him, you know, something wonderful you might have in your mind, a diamond ring or, you know, something wonderful, something very lavish. And, you know, it's not really possible, but you still have that desire. So in the same way, Gauridas was wanting to offer just beautiful jewel throne and beautiful necklaces and fine garments. And he was thinking that way during the darshan. And then all of a sudden, he saw the deities in this resplendent, you know, fully jeweled. Everything was just like from another dimension. And the Lord had fulfilled the desire. He manifested in this way to fulfill Gauridas' desire. So one of the most well-known pastimes is when the disciple, his prominent disciple, was Chaitanya Das. And Chaitanya Das had been given the service of caring for the deities while Gauridas went to visit somewhere else. And it so happened, it was about 3 days before Gaur Purnim. So Chaitanya Das started feeling a little anxious. You know, my Guru Maharaj hasn't returned, it's almost Gaur Purnim. And, you know, it's got to be a great big festival, and he's not here, so maybe I should jumpstart, you know. And he started sending out invitations in all directions, everywhere, to tell people to come for the Gaur Purnim to celebrate. And at the same time, he's a little anxious because, you know, Gauridas wasn't there yet, and he had no, you know, he didn't have a telex, he didn't have a telegraph, he didn't have, you know, email, he didn't have a telephone, he couldn't contact him. So then, just after he kind of sent out a batch of invitations, Gauridas showed up. So Chaitanya Das told him, you know, that I was a little anxious, Guru Maharaj, and so I sent out the invitations. And within his heart, Gauridas was actually very pleased. But he put a stern demeanor on. And he acted as if he was really upset with him and told him to go away, I don't want to see you, you can't stay here anymore. So, you know, he made obeisances. Chaitanya Das made his obeisances, and you know, you can imagine how dejected he felt. And he went out and he just went beneath a tree by the river. And as he was there in that condition, a boat came by with a very wealthy merchant. And the boat stopped, and this merchant gave a large sum of money, and he said, "Take this to your Guru Maharaj." So he took this money, and he came and he offered it to Gauridas Pandit. And Gauridas Pandit gave him a wonderful instruction. He said, "Prepare a wonderful feast." So then he became very happy. He was so happy, he was actually dancing and chanting. And he began preparing this. You know, he went and he got the bhoga that was required, and prepared this wonderful feast, and offered this wonderful feast to Gaur Anga Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. And then a wonderful kirtan commenced. And during this kirtan, at one point, he opened his eyes, Chaitanya Das opened his eyes, and he saw the beautiful forms of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda dancing amidst all the devotees. So he became, you can imagine how extraordinarily thrilled, hair standing on end, you know, his heart palpitating with great love and joy. And then somebody told Gauridas, and Gauridas went and looked, and he saw, no, first the pujari went to the altar. And the pujari saw that the deities weren't there on the altar. Gornitai were gone. So he went to tell Gauridas. And Gauridas grabbed this club, and he ran in a very angry mood, like, where are you going? What are you doing? And he was running, and he saw them dancing with this wonderful kirtan, and they saw him coming with this not-so-happy-looking face and the club in his hand, so they immediately disappeared. They became invisible, it's described. They became invisible. But what had happened is that they had entered the heart of Chaitanya Das. So at that point and this was seen, this was witnessed by Gauridas, who became overwhelmed with great ecstasy, and he just clasped his disciple in his arms, and he was hugging him, and tears and tears and tears were coming. And he said, "From this day on, your name will be Hirdaye Chaitanya Das." So, the one who has the shelter in the heart of the Lord. The Lord has taken shelter of his heart. So, and at the same time, he awarded him, he qualified him with pure devotional service. You know. So, then one of the interesting things about these deities is they have the darshan, like, you know, Vrindavan, Banka Bihari? So the Banka Bihari, they have this, they open and close the curtains very quickly, so Banka Bihari won't run off the altar. There's a whole story about that. So, in the same way, from that point on, the pujaris would have short darshans of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Nityananda to keep them on the altar so they didn't have an opportunity to run away. So, that's a little bit about the wonderful pastimes of Gauridas Pandit. Okay, what is the class time? I forgot to look.
You can finish at 8:30.
Okay, so in this chapter, because you're kind of, you know, going through it, and I just came in, and so I read through the verses, and I was seeing how wonderful, so many wonderful lessons. You know, this is even prior, because Kapila Dev is coming, and he's going to give the whole knowledge of Sankhya philosophy. He's going to impart this wonderful spiritual knowledge to his mother. And there was a whole scenario how that happened. Devahuti was given instructions how to worship the Lord. because she was lamenting her condition, her lack of, you could say, lack of Krishna consciousness, that she had so much opportunity, but somehow she hadn't taken care. So she was given this advice to worship the Lord with great faith, with sensory control and austerities, and the fourth was to give gifts in charity with using her own money. So it's explained that these four things are very essential for one to develop love of God, because they'll attract the Lord. That you worship the Lord with great faith, you control your senses, it means that whatever you do for Krishna, not for your own sense gratification. And you perform austerities, because without austerities, without this tapasya, without austerities, we can't make spiritual advancement, because we're too much engaged in contrary mode, contrary activities. So austerity must be there. And then to give in gifts of charity using her own money. So I remember a pastime where Srila Bhakti Siddhanta had taken his disciples on yatra, and they had gone into one of the temples. This was in near Jagannath Puri, outside of Jagannath Puri. So they go into one of the temples, and as is nowadays, was also in those days, that there were people lined up asking for bhakshis, begging. And his disciples ignored them. They just kind of walked by them. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta noticed this, and he chastised them, saying, "So you want to enjoy Lakshmi for yourself? Like, you don't want to give anything. You want to enjoy." So he was chastising in that way. So it's very important that we give from our own wealth something. A personal experience with Srila Prabhupada was at the first Kumbh that we attended. And during that Kumbh, which is at the banks of the Tribeni in Halabad, it was our first experience. And we weren't very together, and we'd come kind of last minute, so our whole camp was... nowadays they have really fantastic Krishna camps at the Kumbh Mela, but at that time it was... we had the shabbiest tents at the Mela because we'd come at the last minute and we were foreigners and didn't know how to negotiate and how to... we didn't even know what this whole scene was going to be even, So, got cheated and got some shabby tents. But at this particular occasion, there was a wonderful appearance of Radha Madhava, not big Radha Madhava, but small Radha Madhava. And they arrived with Srila Prabhupada on a train from Calcutta. And the first we saw them were on the head of the coolies. The coolies took them from the train to the waiting vehicles, and we saw these beautiful forms on the head of some coolies, and we had no idea what was happening. But these beautiful small brass deities were installed and worshipped there for the duration of the Mela. And people would come, and there was a hundi, so they would, throw coins. And in those days, there was paisas and annas, and, you could have 50 paisa, charana, which meant like a little tiny thing, and, rupees and... So it was mostly these little coins that came in the box. So Prabhupada requested every day they'd take the coins out, put them in a bag, and we'd go on a Harinam in the morning throughout all the camps, throughout the entire Mela. And at one place in the Mela, there would be where the lepers, the people with leprosy, and these people, they were like, some of them had no hands, no arms, no feet, no legs, no ears, no mouth. The mouth was just like fallen into a skeleton of a face, no nose. It was for us quite a shocking thing to see such a we'd seen maybe one or two, but here and there in the city, but in such a concentrated form. And they'd be on these little tiny carts, like just about as big as one of these little square mats you're sitting on, but had little tiny wheels and a string, and somebody would pull them there and leave them for the day and then come back and get them. So during our Harinam, Prabhupada instructed us to give the coins that had come into the hundi to these people. And we were doing that. And then one day, one of the devotees said, well, you know, Srila Prabhupada, wouldn't it be better if we gave them prasadam? Srila Prabhupada looked at them, this person, and goes, for them, this is prasadam, meaning these coins. And for me, that was quite a revelation, too, because we think, prasadam, what do you think? Halava, khichdi, puri, sabji, you know, that's what we think. But actually, prasadam is what? It's the mercy of the Lord, you know? So this, and something that's been offered to the Lord becomes that prasadam, becomes his mercy. So these coins had been offered to the Lord, and now we're being offered to these people for whatever use they would have. So that was a wonderful experience, and in line with what the instruction to Devahuti was. So then, it was taught that how the personality of Godhead actually became her son, and that was explained that he that. What happened that he became her son to teach the knowledge of Brahma, to teach the knowledge of the Absolute Truth. And the Supreme Lord did this by entering the semen of Kardama Mumi. And in this way, she was impregnated, and she was became the mother of Kapila Dev. So one of the many things that happened when she gave birth was describing how the demigods arrived. Because, you know, when some great event happens, or when the Lord makes his appearance, it's quite often the demigods will arrive. Even I had this experience in San Francisco in 1967, or early 68, we had a program for Srila Prabhupada. And we were trying to upgrade our act, so to speak. You know, we were trying to make a very nice type of program, like not like just one of our normal funky programs. So we had rented a very nice place. And we thought we had done a really good job of advertising. But when we came, and this place was really nice, it had like padded seats, which was unheard of for us in those days, and really nicely, nice, you know, nice stage area, and the floor was like, you know, went up. There was some balcony, a little balcony. But when we got there, the whole place was for all, you know, the only way you could describe it was an empty house. Just a few rows in the front. And most of those were filled with the devotees. Prabhupada stood up and spoke as if the whole place was just packed with standing room only. And I remember afterwards, so then he spoke very strongly and insightfully, and then he goes, are there any questions? And one of the bhaktas raised his hand, Bhakta Tom, and he goes, well, what happens if you don't finish? What if you don't finish this process? What happens? Prabhupada, he kind of nodded with a smile. He liked that question, because why? Didn't Arjuna ask a similar question to Krishna? No, it was a good question. So he explained how the process of spiritual bank accounts that you can't lose, whatever it goes in stays, and even if you drop out, it won't diminish. It'll be waiting for you to return, pick up again. So he goes, so do you like that? Bhakta Tom said, yes, you know. So this Bhakta Tom actually became Tamal Krishna Goswami. So afterwards, we're in the car going back, and Govinda Dasi felt really bad about it. You know, we all felt like nobody came. At least, you know, it's what it felt like when you have an empty house like that. So she apologized. Oh, we're so sorry, Srila Prabhupada. And he goes, oh? Yeah, we know nobody came. He goes, oh, you did not see? Narada Muni was there, Lord Brahma was there, you did not see? No, we didn't see, but Prabhupada saw. There was another occasion, similarly, I think it occurred in London, same thing. We didn't have the eyes. The demigods know when to appear, but only those who have eyes to see are able to actually perceive. You know. So the demigods came to the birth of Kapila Dev, and they came in the form of raining clouds. Then later they shifted from the raining clouds to raining, the clouds instead of raining water were raining, dropping flower petals. Yeah. That was the wonderful appearance of Kapila. And how was Kapila characterized? Was by his golden hair, his lotus eyes, and his lotus feet. That was described in today's verse. And he descended to decimate transcendental knowledge. And he spoke to his mother, he was teaching her how one should perfect this human form of life. And in doing so, he was cutting that knot that was in her heart. So what is it? Sometimes we hear about that hard knot in the heart. So what is that? That is that is matter. In other words, characterized as the false ego. And in giving her this wonderful knowledge, this Brahmana, he diminished the knot in her heart. So if we are fortunate and can study nicely the books that Srila Prabhupada has given us, if we can chant our rounds without offense and continue with great determination our daily service, we can also have this wonderful experience where the knot in our heart that binds us to this material world is shattered. So, transcendental knowledge. Does anybody want to correct or add anything? This is 8:30. I know about ending class on time.
This would be a bit of leeway.
8:30. Like, people probably have their services and their maybe even jobs.
Breakfast probably won't come until 9:00.
Our breakfast, because yesterday was. You know, this is interesting because today they were saying, oh, this is Gauridas Pandit's disappearance day. But actually, I was reading in two different places that his disappearance was on the Ekadashi. So, maybe here it's something different, but at least I'm not saying he didn't disappear today, but I'm just mentioning that it was mentioned that he disappeared on Ekadashi. In other places. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam, ki jai, is divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, ki jai.